Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello. I hope you're enjoying your three-day weekend courtesy of the Republicans who, on June 19th, 1865, compelled the racist Democrats in Texas to obey Lincoln's emancipation of the slaves. About 6 months later, on December 6th, the 13th Amendment was ratified, ending the legalized ownership of another human being as property. Now, many Democrats continue to believe their party owns all blacks. And what's worse, some blacks consent. Hello, I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
The battle for America is on.
The serpent tempted Eve, who succumbed, and tempted Adam, who fell to the power of Satan and brought death upon us all. The serpent was a clever creature. It talked and evidently walked upright. Otherwise, the curse to crawl on its belly would be, well, redundant. The Bible identifies Satan with this creature, Revelation 12, verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him, end quote. God cursed that talking serpent to crawl on its belly and eat dirt. You must beware the beguilements of the serpent and the seduction of his devils, which fly about the air and attack the minds of foolish Christians, like those fiery flying serpents plagued the foolish among the Israelites in Moses' day, Numbers 21:1-8. You know, Satan is prince of the power of the air, Selah. There is a fantastical myth that snake people walk amongst us. You probably have seen some of that. Serpent men, a product of ancient mythology, playing upon the excitable imagination of some. However, Satan is a deceptive, thieving, and murderous angel of darkness, and that's for real. He is identified as that old serpent, a murderer, a thief, a liar, and the father of it, John 8:44. And he does have children, you know. Jesus said, ye are of your father, the devil. Like their father, they are impulsively attracted to lies that facilitate theft of the possessions of others and even life. They lick dirt. They have a taste for it. Some Christians are bitten by these fiery flying serpents called seducing spirits, and they become sick with this disease. Curiously, the Hebrew word for dirt includes not only what we walk on, but also mud and rubbish. The serpent's children like to lick rubbish. It's how they navigate, you know. It's the way the snake does it. It's how they find their way toward their prey. Yummy, yummy. They like the taste of filth. And so they feed on lies and rumors that destroy other men's lives. Indeed, they feed on what brings death. They love to hate. They love sedition. But there is a cure for sinner or saint afflicted by this. God told the serpent that the seed of the woman, the virgin-born Son of God, Christ the King, manifest in the flesh, would come to crush the serpent's head, to break his power and take from him the power of death, emancipating all mankind. You know, some slaves preferred to remain in their bondage, fearful of taking on themselves the responsibilities of freedom. Some sinners and saints prefer to hang with the serpent and take the side of the accuser of the brethren. Many accept the offer Jesus refused. Hiss! I'll give you the world if you bow down and worship me. Hiss! Says the serpent in their ear. They enjoy the reward of unrighteousness. They enjoy the drug rush induced by the tongue of the serpent in their ear. He thrusts his tongue into the air and into the dirt and collects the mind-numbing chemicals of deceit and injects them into their brains through their hungry ears. And if you watch, well, you can see it, how their soul's teeth grind upon the lies that blind their eyes, giving the serpent power to drag them deeper into the hold of darkness. Instead of battling the darkness of this world, as we're instructed to, they embrace it, celebrate it, find comfort there, feel at home there. After all, they're in their father's lair. I aim at your heart, and with the sword of the Spirit, give you the truth that shall cut through your chains and make you free, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, then thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Repent. Turn from darkness to this light. Turn from the tyrannical power of Satan into the liberating embrace of the power of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. If you want some counsel on this matter, call me, 805-314-2114. And I'll repeat this number at the end of the broadcast today. This is my listener response hotline, by the way. Leave your name. I'll call you back to answer any of your questions. You can also come on Sunday morning and meet me. Love to do that. Let me know you want to talk about all this stuff, if that is your interest. It's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
A friend, I'm concerned about the patriot who bites the dust. You know, like a snake in the grass. They bite the dust and get poisoned by satanic lies. They become enemies of God, friends with the accuser, and opponents of truth, grieving the Holy Spirit of liberty.
The one bites the dust.
Now, thank you. A June of 1980, written by John Deacon, performed by Queen. When I first thought about using that homage to the 80s, 1980, another time, you know, when America stood at the crosshairs of Satan and at the crossroads of decision, hell's way or heaven's way. Happily, God had mercy and gave us Reagan then to guide us back toward the light of American exceptionalism under God. Anyway, at first I thought it would be cute and I'd have some fun with it, be a bit jocular, tongue-in-cheek, and so on. But honestly, as I began writing, the Spirit took me in a different direction, and I'm glad. It's a serious thing to be bitten by the fiery serpents of hell. Iran postponed signing the deal because Israel did not like it when Hezbollah drove an explosive suicide drone into an IDF tank, killing four of their soldiers and wounding several others. So they bombed them. Well, this ticked off Iran, who has connected the Hezbollah-Lebanon thing with any deal we make with them. If you ever had any doubts about the relationship between Hezbollah and Iran, let them be dismissed. It's clear. They're connected. So anyway, this ticked off Iran, and they snake-like spoke from a double tongue. It was kind of weird. First, the IRGC declared the strait is closed. And Iran canceled its envoy trip to Switzerland to sign the deal. They accused Israel of violating the ceasefire agreement. J.D. Vance canceled his travel plans accordingly, and it looked like the deal was off. The deal, it got blown up by Hezbollah, or by Israel, for those who bite the dust.
Another one bites the dust.
At issue, Hezbollah is agitated by Israel's continued presence in southern Lebanon, creating a buffer against further attacks by Hezbollah. And some Hezbollah members have openly said the only way they accept a ceasefire would be if Israel withdrew from Lebanon. Israel has said that's not happening. Now, friend, I'm going to go with Hezbollah as the agitator here, since they not only reject the right of Israel to occupy her homeland, promised to her by God, by the way, but go so far as to demand that every Jew must die. These creeps would fire up the ovens if they could get away with it. Admit it. At the end of the day, it all comes down to that simple, basic fact. Neither side is perfect. Come on. If there was a side that was perfect, please don't join it because you'll ruin it. You're not perfect. You'll just mess it up. You'll mess up the only thing that's perfect in your imagination. But the historical fact is that God promised to bring Abraham's descendants back to their land. And the devil has a very long record of opposing God's plan, along with those children of disobedience whom he controls. The Abraham Accords provide a wonderful opportunity for Ishmael and Isaac to heal the wounds that divide them. That's what Trump is driving at. Anyway, only a short time later, Iran rescinded its earlier statement and said the strait is open, albeit under relatively benign face-saving conditions. I assume Trump spoke with Bibi. Let's see. Yep, he did. Here it is. He said he told Bibi to calm down. He told Bibi to calm down. Huh. I'm not sure how that conversation went. I can only imagine. Iran flew a drone into one of our Blackhawks and took it down. All of our soldiers made it out safely. And the U.S. bombed their chocolate into their pants. Hezbollah flies a drone into an IDF tank, kills 4 soldiers, one of them, a battalion commander, wounds several others. And Benjamin is supposed to calm down? What's going on? Whether or not you agree with Trump's position on this, there is method to what appears to be madness, but I need you to wait for it. Iraniac leadership contacted Hezbollah leadership to encourage them to resume the ceasefire status with Israel. Oh, so Iran jumped in here. Well, they agreed. Hezbollah and Israel have resumed the ceasefire. So far, it's holding. The Iraniac negotiators are on their way to Switzerland. JD and his team are likewise. The deal is back on. So that's how it stands as of 10:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Reuters is a dust eater, so the article I referenced here just had to be framed in a way that takes a stab at Trump, you know. This article headlines, quote, U.S.-Iran deal redraws the Middle East. Iran gains, rivals alarmed, end quote. Well, honestly, it's a fair headline. The rivals are alarmed. I'm just reading it and understanding it, kind of taking it, responding to it from the angle of how I know it will fuel those who, well, bite the dust.
Another one bites the dust.
But Trump is a rival of Iran, friend. There's no love in Iran for Trump. Come on, Obama now. He was a friend to Iran. But Trump, no way. Definitely a rival. And then point two, we are in a negotiation for a deal that aims at securing America's interests, which in large part coincide with Israel's and with the rest of the Arab nations in that region. All because and all due to Trump's bold efforts. Now, when you're negotiating, there's kind of a thing, you know, where you give them something for what you want them to get, right? If you're negotiating, Trump's trying to negotiate a deal here. Well, I'll get into that some more in the next segment, but let's just stay on track with this particular point right now. This whole issue is a whole lot larger than peace between Iran and Israel or peace between Iran and America. It's about peace throughout the entire region. And the Bible prophesies such a time will come, Isaiah 2 and Micah 4. Although it's true, Trump's primary focus is an interest in protecting America from living under the cloud of a threat from Iran. The whole death to America and death to Israel thing. Well, you know, we're just kind of done with that, okay? Now, I believe there are many other things that Trump would like to see come out of all this, but unlike Obama, Trump is not willing to settle for a scenario that leaves Shia-occupied Iran with, well, under the control of a snake and in its hands a nuke. And everything else he wants from this effort is connected to the interests of his darling America. He is a compassionate man, something that has been well established long before the famous escalator ride from the heights of his success into the morass of the swamp and his war with the vile creatures living there, the dragons. Well, the Leviathan that thrives there even now, but not so comfortably as before. Yes, he wants the Iranian people to be free of the occupying force of Satan's fiery flying serpents that have nested there. I've spoken of this many times, and I must watch my time right now, but until the Iranian people make a massive commitment to liberty, to the level of Patrick Henry's give me liberty or give me death, they've got to come to that place. They will not have liberty, but they're certainly going to continually live under the tyranny, the shadow of death. This is the spiritual side of this battle. What Iran needs is the gospel of the kingdom. It was, after all, the gospel of the kingdom that prepared America for our experiment in self-governance, in a covenant with God. And that's what we need to do about Iran. You want Iran to be free? Send missionaries with the gospel of the kingdom into Iran. The truth will make them free. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there will be liberty. You must do that under the command of Christ the King, the Lord of all heaven and all earth, to whom has been given all power in heaven and in earth. He told you to go. The battle is won with the sword of the Spirit. Then, under a declaration of independence from the tyrannical rule of that regime, a declaration that's built on the core principle of God-endowed inalienable rights, and a constitution that organizes your government around the core principle of the consent of the governed, and including in that document, that contract with the people, a securing of their essential inalienable rights, articulated beautifully, by the way, in the first 10 amendments of our Constitution, on the principle that government is duty-bound to protect the freedom and liberty and may not take it from the people. Assert this openly before man and God. When, and I do say when, the tyrants come against you, trust God to use, well, your rocks if that's all you have, and like David, take down your giant. You say that's ridiculous. I know it is. I also know that God is in heaven and the earth is his footstool, and he'll stand when you do. And by the way, so will we. Hold on to the break. On the other side, I'm going to explain some things that will help you sort all this out and I hope land in the right place. Hopefully deliver some of you who have been bitten by one of the dragon's fiery flying serpents. Another one bites the dust. Well, if you'll look unto Christ, you'll be delivered. Hold on, I'll be right back. I appreciate all of you who joined me here on the Brain Massage Show. If you enjoy the show and find it helpful, please consider supporting our effort. For the cost of a cup of coffee a month, you can be a great encouragement and help to our cause. Go to brainmassage.net and make a one-time donation or set up a monthly gift of whatever amount appropriately fits your budget, what you can do, and it shows your appreciation for the program.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. We have received the contours of the deal, and some elements have raised questions and stirred concerns. We know that the essential objective is not nation building. There's no appetite or support for another Iraq mess, nor is there any interest in another Obama deal. You know, kick the can. Either Obama was willing for Iran to get a nuke and was actually helping them in a covert way to do that, so long as it didn't happen during his presidency, or he was just truly the most inept buffoon when it comes to negotiation that has ever lived. We all know he had a special affinity for that religion and a decided disaffection for biblical Christianity. He was and is definitely a dust eater. Now, here's how I see this. Some become very animated at the prospect of Iran receiving sanctions relief, which would turn on a fire hose of money flooding into their coffers. The assumption is that they will most certainly use this to bolster their ballistic missile arsenal, load up with their very effective drones, and position themselves to wreak havoc on the entire region, and especially on Israel, and threaten America too, continuing to be a threat and an ongoing menacing presence, and no doubt supplying and encouraging their proxies to expand the reach of their power throughout the region and around the world. It would just go on forever. Allah told them to rule the world, and by Allah, that's what they're going to do. Okay, you understand? I get that. And you know what? I think Trump understands that also. He's not naive. So what's going on? He's doing what he always does, giving his opponent every opportunity to do the right thing. He does this with a sincere hope that his enemy will do the right thing, and the matter to be settled can be done so without pain and misery to anyone, or to minimize that as much as possible. I talked about this a while back. To understand Trump, you need to remember that he thinks in categories of what's right and what's wrong. He is extremely loyal to his principles and to his people. His principles require him to protect his people first and foremost. He is focused on what is good for America. That's obvious. And his primary objective is to remove Iran as a threat to our peace. Obama left Iran to come within a week or two of nuclear bombs, man. And that's intolerable. So Trump took action. He's narrowly focused on achieving security and prosperity for the American people. He's not the president of Iran. He's not the president of the world. He's not going to put the interests of either above his country. Nor is he going to sacrifice America for the interests of the world at large. He does not see himself as the boss of the world. And this is one of the reasons he has been elevated to the world's boss. He knows who is the boss. It is Christ Jesus the King. However, he also wants Israel to prosper and enjoy peace. He wants the Iranians to prosper. He wants all the Arab nations to prosper. He wants Nigeria to stop persecuting, killing Christians. He even wants Russia, Ukraine, and China to prosper. I know that sounds strange, but it's true. He wants Europe to prosper. He wants the whole world to prosper, but not at America's expense. So first, understand that the one thing that drives him is the security and prosperity of America. And all of his actions toward all others operate around that central focus. So why not just destroy the Shia occupiers of Iran? Now, I think Trump wants the Venezuela Iran. And if it could be done as easily as going in and capturing the latest Khomeini to stick his head up, well, then that's what he would do. The Iranians are organized around a religious ideology committed by divine mandate to bring the entire world to Islam or to submit to Sharia. Add to this that they have the temperament of their ancient father Ishmael, the wild man whose fist is against the world. Venezuela was a simple thugocracy. Iran is a theocracy with thugs ruling it. You would have to take out virtually one-third of the population of Iran to achieve what was done in Venezuela by removing one guy. Okay? And that's because the devotees of this Islamist fascism are ready to die for their cause. Now, almost no one was willing to die for Maduro. Trump knows the Shia devotees will never surrender, but he hoped that they would, and he gave them a chance to do it. He is not surprised they didn't. He showed his beloved America that they won't, and he's showing us what we're dealing with here. He is giving them a chance to survive because wholesale slaughter is not something that appeals to him. Should it? But mostly it's because getting that done will require boots on the ground. And he knows the American people are loath to go there again. Boots on the ground will mean casualties. It will mean body bags. He lived through the Vietnam War and through Iraq. He knows how that story ends. So one of two things has to happen. We make a deal with these filthy liars and enforce the terms of that deal aggressively. Or Americans become so tired of dealing with these wicked people, lining up innocents for wholesale murder and all that, that America demands we go in and take over. They come to a position of readiness to deal with boots on the ground. I think he's waiting for his darling to be ready to move in. Then, I think he'll lead the military to take out Karg Island while concentrating on taking out the latest layer of leadership simultaneously. I think he and Bibi perhaps have already had some conversations about this. What do you think? I don't know. Here's a caveat, by the way. I've not had a conversation with President Trump where I could explore his heart on this matter, right? You kind of sound out his heart. I'm offering my opinion as someone who's watched him with curiosity for a very long time, back in the apprentice days, and studied him closely now for a decade. I see patterns, and they're very consistent. I believe Trump knows, and I think he is spot on, that Karg Island is the key. It's the backbreaker for the regime. Another thing I've noticed about Trump is that he always signals in advance what he wants to do. He always prepares his team, in this case, the entire country, for what, or MAGA anyway, his supporters, for what he is thinking about doing. On June 11, the Doves and my 53rd wedding anniversary, United States President Donald Trump was sitting with Fox and Friends for an interview. I watched his interview and heard the president say what I also was thinking. He said, my preference has always been take Karg Island. My preference would be that. I don't know that America has the stomach for it, end quote. I said a while back, and I continue to believe two things about this. First, he's not going to do it until he feels certain we are ready to stomach it. And that does not mean he's unwilling to move on this if there are some dissenting voices. That's obvious. Almost everything he does is against the winds of dissent and detraction. But he does have a keen sense of connection with the heart of America. And second, I think he's showing us. He's bringing us along to see what he sees and then begin to demand we finish this once and for all. Now, I would not be surprised if Hegseth and the rest of the NSC team have been apprised and a plan is either in construction or already done. Let me tell you that if I worked for this president and I heard him say this, even if he had never said it to me or to any other administrative staff at all, it never came up, but I just heard it said on a TV show, I'd be putting a plan together. Honestly, I would be very surprised if Hegseth has not commissioned a team to put together a comprehensive plan to take Karg Island. I would create a plan that rattled the cages of the present leadership in a major way. But I gotta tell you, I sure hope the Iranian people are organizing in anticipation of their freedom, because I believe it's coming because God wants that for them, not because America is going to deliver it to them. Okay, I need to wrap it up. We'll speak some more about this Saturday night for Brain Massage Live and cover some really encouraging news breaking out about California Doge and the restoration of election integrity in our state. Trump has been brilliant in this. On top of everything else, he has put China in check, Russia's in check, Cuba's in play. I mean, think about it. This is a realignment of the entire world under this president. It's just been amazing. Setting the stage for the fulfillment of Isaiah 2, Micah 4, Genesis 49:13, and the fourth beast of Daniel 7. Let's talk about it Saturday night. And then there'll be a widespread evangelistic explosion where this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to every nation, and then shall the end come. I've lit the lamps of the church belfry arch. You let me know you see they're on. You can email me by going to our website, brainmassage.net. Find the Contact Us button. Tap out your message to me in the fields that are presented to you there and click send. You can leave a message for me on our listener response hotline. And that number is 805-314-2114. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
Your next brain massage is scheduled for Saturday at 12 noon and Sunday at 7 a.m.